I spent spring break my junior year of college volunteering with Habitat for Humanity down in Louisiana. We were helping people rebuild after Hurricane Andrew, which was back in the mid-90s. And it was a great experience, but I didn't know exactly what we were all signing up for when we agreed to go. You know, spring break trip sounds fun, but mission trip, you never know what you're going to get into. And mission trips are often that way. It's always presented as it's going to be a fun experience. It's going to be life-changing. You're going to do good work. But they don't always give you all the details ahead of time. So, for instance, in our case, it was an adventurous road trip with a dozen of your friends. It turned out to be 18 hours crammed into a van with people who you thought had better hygiene than when the trip started. You were told comfortable accommodations and delicious food. Turned out you're sleeping on the concrete floor of a little church and eating peanut butter and jelly for six straight days. You're told it's going to be an exciting project, helping to rebuild a community. Actually turned out that we cleaned trash out of someone's yard and tore the tin roof off of a double-wide trailer. But that was important work. We needed to do it, and it was a great experience. I highly recommend going on a mission trip. It really will change your life, and it really will not be what you expect it to be when you first sign up for it. But that's okay. The point is that people sometimes sugarcoat things, right? Put a positive spin on what might be a hard reality, trying to convince you to join the cause or buy the product or whatever it is. And that is, of course, a good marketing strategy, which I guess maybe works if you're selling a gym membership or recruiting for a mission trip. But Jesus didn't operate that way. Instead, Jesus invited people to follow him by telling them exactly what they were in for, even when what they were in for was going to be really, really hard. And Jesus didn't sugarcoat it. So as we approach Palm Sunday, and then of course Good Friday after that, and Easter just a couple weeks away from now, we want to think about why Jesus came into the world and why he had to die for us. And so this morning we're going to read a passage from Jesus predicting his own death, telling his followers that he was going to have to die for them, but then also telling us what it means to follow him, what that will mean in our own lives. So this is in Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. Jesus then began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." We may be tempted to share our faith by sugarcoating the gospel. But again, that's not how Jesus did things. It might be tempting for us not to be fully honest with people about what it means to follow Jesus or to be a person of faith or to be a part of the church or to join in with us in walking with the Lord. Of course, we know there are many wonderful blessings that come from knowing Jesus and being a part of the church. There are many wonderful things. And yet we also know that it's not all happiness and sunshine when you follow Jesus. And Jesus never said that it would be. If Jesus had a marketing expert around him, which I kind of think he did, Peter sort of plays that role here. Judas, I think, did at times, and that may have been one of the reasons Judas eventually turned against Jesus. But if Jesus had someone sort of consulting with him, giving him advice on how to raise up disciples, how to gather a crowd around him, I imagine after this particular teaching, there might have been a hard conversation with that marketing expert. Jesus, let's not lead with the whole cross thing. Doesn't sound good, Jesus. And Jesus, deny yourself is not really the catchy slogan that we're looking for. You see, Jesus, if you want a lot of followers, you need to stay positive. Do more miracles, Jesus. People love it when you do miracles, Jesus. Stick with that. That's how you draw a crowd, right? But Jesus always told the truth. And sometimes those truths are hard to hear. Still true today. And we want to be sure that His followers are committed. Jesus wanted to be sure that before people started to follow Him and committed their lives to Him, He wanted them to be sure that they knew what they were getting into. Because following Jesus is not always easy. It's not just answered prayers and blessings and worship songs all the time. It is that, but then sometimes it's also persecution and suffering and waiting and rejection. And so as we go through, especially this Easter season, go through the mission of the church, sharing Jesus' love, sharing His message with others, we need to be sure that we are telling the truth also, that we're not just sugarcoating our faith, that we are being honest about what it means to know Jesus and follow Him and to be a part of the church. We need to be honest about our faith. And that begins with how we follow Jesus in our own lives, because I think sometimes we make it too easy. And we sugarcoat it ourselves so that following Him for ourselves will be easier than maybe it always needs to be. We need to understand what it means to be one of His disciples, because we might be tempted to take the blessings and the joy parts of faith and then ignore the challenges, ignore the difficult parts. And so we begin with this hard truth that Jesus told, that He invites you to follow Him and deny yourself. Jesus invites you to follow Him and deny yourself. You see, following Jesus is hard. It's always been hard. And too often the church today makes it sound easy. Instead of deny yourself, we might be tempted to preach, for instance, the gospel of affirmation. I think there are churches, there are segments of the church today that preaches the gospel of affirmation. This gospel says, you are okay just the way you are. You don't need to change. We're not going to talk about sin. We're not going to talk about hard choices. Instead, just be happy that God loves you. And you see, that's only half true, right? Or we might be tempted to preach, like many churches today do, the prosperity gospel. It's very tempting. The prosperity gospel teaches that God wants you to be rich, that God wants to bless you, and those blessings are going to come in the forms of money and cars and luxury and a happy, perfect life where nothing goes wrong. And if you just have enough faith, Jesus will give you good things. It's a very popular teaching in the church today. And again, it's kind of true. But then it's also, in another way, very untrue. Or we might be tempted to preach the gospel of social acceptance. This gospel says that being a Christian is all about joining the right political cause or the right social movement. And those things can be fine. It's certainly a part of following Jesus that we are to engage in the world and make a difference in the world around us. But you see, the gospel of social acceptance then leaves out the parts about sin and the cross and salvation. Those things end up not mattering so much, just as long as we go out and make the world a better place. Because, of course, the world loves politically correct, socially conscious Christians. And so if Christians want to be loved by the world, then the gospel of social acceptance is for you. But Jesus didn't preach those gospels. And in fact, I'm pretty sure that he would not call them good news, because they're not really true. He asks us to follow him by denying ourselves. Denying is the opposite of affirming, right? Affirming my own choices, affirming my own desires. Jesus said, no, deny yourself. Denying yourself is the opposite of selfishness and greed. It's the opposite of going my way or going the world's way or going the popular way, which again often looks better, it sounds better, it looks easier, it feels better at times. But denying myself starts with understanding that that what the world tells me I should want is often not at all what God says is really best for us. And so instead, I need to be asking, what does Jesus want for me and from me? What does his word tell me is God's will for how I should live my life? And when that runs counter to my own desires, or when that cuts across the grain of culture, which it will, and it always has, even in Jesus' day, and 2,000 years later, it certainly still does, then I have a hard choice to make, and that is, am I going to follow Jesus, or am I going to follow the world? And as often as I can, as much as possible, I want to follow Jesus, even when that means that I have to deny myself. Then Jesus raises the bar a little bit higher. Jesus invites you to follow him and lose your life. Lose your life. In fact, Jesus invites us to take up your cross. And we all know that's strong language. It was a shocking image to his followers. Again, that's why Peter rebuked him. Jesus, what are you talking about? This can't be the plan, Jesus, that you're going to die and so are we. But Jesus used the image of a cross on purpose. Of course, knowing Jesus knew exactly what lay in store for him, which was a cross. But he also used this image talking about what it means for us to follow him. And again, shocking image, particularly in that culture. You see, Romans used crosses to kill people. That's what a cross was in that culture. And of course, Romans didn't just use crosses to kill people. If all they cared about was a quick, efficient way to execute criminals, then a sword or a spear would have been far better. But you see, the Romans were interested in making those who had broken the law suffer, because they also wanted other people to watch as that criminal died on the cross. And so a cross was a symbol not just of death, but of suffering, of a slow and painful death. And Jesus says, if you want to follow me, be ready for the cross. Be ready to suffer. Be ready to lose your life. That includes losing control over your life. You may not die a martyr's death. I hope you don't. But you will lose, if you follow Jesus correctly, you will lose control over your life. Being obedient to God means letting go of my own agenda and following God's agenda. following wherever Jesus leads. And that could be on a mission trip, could be to a prayer service, could be across the street to help your neighbor. Following Jesus could mean that he'll take you to places of suffering or illness or sorrow. And following Jesus might mean following him all the way to your own death. Take up your cross. It also means losing your sinful desires. Following Jesus always requires change. And before you fall for one of those other gospels, let me tell you the truth. To come to Jesus means that you have to repent. You have to turn away from your sin, turn away from those things that God says he doesn't want in your life and ways of living that he says are not according to his will. We turn away from our sin so that we can then turn and start following Jesus to a better life. The truth is, you aren't good enough, and neither am I. Without following God, without turning our lives fully over to him, we're not good enough. We are broken and selfish and lustful and vengeful people, which is why Jesus had to come and die for us. And Jesus doesn't let us stay the way that we are. He commands us to change, to turn away from our sin, to turn away from our old ways of living, so that then we can find a new and better life. And again, at this point, we might want to start siding with that marketing consultant who comes to Jesus and says, come on, no one's going to want to follow you, Jesus. If this is how it is, take up a cross, lose your life, deny yourself. You're making it too difficult, Jesus. In fact, Jesus, if you keep this up, no one's going to want to be your disciple, especially in our modern, comfortable world that we live in today. Just stick with the good stuff, Jesus. Talk more about heaven and miracles and rainbows and love. All this negative crosstalk, it makes selling our faith pretty hard. So then what does Jesus say next? As we're tempted to think it's all too hard, Jesus. Jesus invites you to follow him and be unashamed of him. And be unashamed of him. In fact, let me read verse 38 again. It says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, if you're ashamed of who Jesus is and the things that he taught, in this adulterous and sinful generation, and you know, you think about the culture that we live in today, Jesus said these words 2,000 years ago, and we may have this image in our mind that people weren't quite as bad back then as they are today, or however we might want to think about that. But Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me in the midst of the culture in which you live, then the Son of Man, Jesus uses that title for himself, Jesus says, then I'll be ashamed of you. Those are pretty hard words. Sadly, I think there are a lot of Christians today who are ashamed of Jesus. I think there are a lot of people in the church today who are ashamed of the Word of God. There are a lot of people who are ashamed to be associated with the Church of Jesus Christ. We think we have better ideas. We've got better ways of doing things. You know, the world would really like us a lot more if we stopped talking about sin all the time, if we stopped talking about morality. People would like us a lot more. They would like the church. You know, if we stopped believing in crazy things like miracles and resurrections, people could probably accept Jesus and the church a lot better. People would like us a lot more if we stopped reading from an ancient book that doesn't seem relevant to their lives. Those things are true. People would like us a lot more if we were only willing to be ashamed of Jesus. Being ashamed of Jesus and our faith is one of the greatest temptations that we face today in our culture. For the next couple of weeks, today, next Sunday, of course, is Palm Sunday. And then we come to Good Friday, and then 2 weeks from now is Easter morning. This season is the highlight of our church year. This season we tell these stories of why Jesus came, His life, His death, His resurrection. These are the centerpieces of our faith, and we are not ashamed to tell the story. We are not ashamed that God loves us even though we are sinners. We are not ashamed to admit that we need a Savior. And so does everyone that we know, whether they realize it or not. We are not ashamed of what Jesus taught. We are not ashamed even when those things that Jesus taught that we read about in God's Word challenge us in how we live our lives and challenge the culture around us. We're not ashamed of those things. And we will teach them and proclaim them anyway. We are not ashamed that Jesus suffered and died in our place, that He took our sins on Himself. We're ashamed of our sins, but we're not ashamed that Jesus died for us. Because that is our good news. We are not ashamed to say out loud that we believe Jesus rose again to new life. And that when we come to Him in faith, we can find new life. And that offer of new life is offered to everyone on the face of this earth. And if we will tell that story to them, then they can find that good news as well. And we're not ashamed of that story. And we believe that Jesus' Spirit now lives in our hearts. And one day we will get to go and be with Him forever. And we're not ashamed to believe that one day we will be with God in heaven for all eternity. And so we are also not ashamed to share our faith. And we're not ashamed to join Jesus in suffering, and to lay down our lives, and to take up the cross. And this morning, in just a few minutes, we will not be ashamed to come to the table where we will remember that Jesus died for us. His body was broken, His blood was shed. And we will not be ashamed to believe that Jesus rose again to new life. And that by His Spirit, He is here with us right now in this place. And that is our faith, and that is what we teach and what we proclaim to the world, and we are not ashamed. We are not ashamed to follow Jesus, our Savior. So let me invite you to bow our heads, and we'll give thanks to God for all that He's done for us. Lord, we do give You thanks today for Jesus, who is our Savior, who came into this world and lived and died and rose again. Father, help us not to be ashamed of that story, but to tell it with joy, to tell it as good news, to proclaim our faith to those who haven't yet heard that Jesus loves them, that He is the Savior. Lord, help us to walk with You in all that we do, even when that means going into the hard places of life, even when it means denying ourselves, even when it means taking up a cross. Lord, give us the strength and the courage and the faith that we need to go where You lead. We love You, Lord, and we thank You for the love that You show us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.